A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, I'm Penn.
And I'm Kim.
And you have stumbled upon the Holderness Family Podcast. Thank you for stumbling upon us. We hope that you're okay and not injured. I try something new every time. I give that one a...
C-.
Tough crowd, yeah.
Tough crowd.
We need a comedian to kind of grade me on my shtick. And the good news is we have a comedian with us today.
I'm so, so excited for this guy.
Yeah, this is one of our favorites. I met him personally in a parking lot trying to help him break into the trunk of his car about a year and a half ago when we shot something called Target Dads. His name is Charlie Behrens. Anytime we mention him or we have him anywhere adjacent to our content, the Midwest explodes with excitement.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
You may know him. Just a quick intro that I totally ripped off of Wikipedia. He's an American journalist. He's a comedian and creator of the Manitowoc Minute. He's been featured on Fox, CBS, Funny or Die, TBS Digital, Variety, MTV. Actually, his first job was at MTV when he was in the show called Choose or Lose. He also, and this is interesting, we have a similar background. He covered Wisconsin state politics, like Kim and I, who used to work in news. Actually got arrested while covering protests at the 2008 Republican National Convention. Cannot wait to ask him about that. He won a regional Emmy as a reporter for KDFTV. CBS Sports hired him, just like me, to do a sports game show, You're So Money. He was the host of a comedy entertainment news brand at Hollywood for PMC. Been featured, as I said, on Funny or Die. He has these comedic mashups, including still one of my favorites, If Jack Dawson Was Really from Wisconsin, which garnered millions of views. Most importantly, he's just a really good guy.
And he has written a new book called The Midwest Survival Guide, which is going to be available for pre-order now, which is very exciting. And Charlie Behrens, who's joining us now. This is the part that blows my mind. You were one of 12 children.
Yes.
I know that you're very accomplished. You're very accomplished and you have a lot of, you know, a very deep resume, but you're one of 12 kids.
Wow.
Yeah. I first of all, that is a very long intro. And
well, you need to edit your Wikipedia page.
Yeah. Totally unnecessary. Thank you for saying all those things that I forgot I wrote about myself on Wikipedia. Also, your opening joke is great. It was fantastic. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to jump in at that point, but the stumbled upon thing, and I hope you're okay. I mean, I got to give you props for that.
I mean, as far as dad jokes go, I mean, Penn's pretty good. He's good.
He's got some skill in that area. So, yeah. But I'm one of 12 kids. So that is, it's Andy, Charlie, Billy, Betts, Maggie, Anna, Mary, Kate, John, and Wingo, Bridget, Ellie.
Those were the names.
That was
okay,
amazing.
Yeah, so say it again. And where do you fall again? So say it again.
So Andy, Charlie, I'm two.
Okay.
Two of 12, one of six if you simplify the fraction. Andy, Charlie, Billy, Betsy, Maggie, Addie, Mary Kate, John, and Wingo, Bridget, Ellie.
Okay, and so what are the? I'm fascinated by all things birth order. We only have the two, and the two that was wow. So, what's the age range from oldest to youngest?
So, age range. My older brother is now you're gonna get me in trouble.
Okay.
Older brother, 35, I believe. Youngest sister, 17, I believe.
Bless your parents. Now, you are, I mean, comedy is we will talk about, I mean, you got your start in news, but comedy has been, you know, what's provided a lot of your, you know, recent success. How is being 12? I mean, imagine there's a lot of material being the second of 12 children, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely owe my family at least half of my stand-up tour in any given deal, you know? So there's like, that's what you're asking. Like, do they provide me material? Yeah. I mean, I've got a lot of bits on that, you know, and if the bits continue to keep, like my brother at one point loaded his shotgun and put it back in the car, and I pulled the shotgun out and shot the minivan. So there is like a 15 minute bit, you know, and in the stand up world, that's a pretty, that was a pretty cool mistake he made there, you know, from.
And lucky later. That it was a minivan and not a person as mom.
Yeah, no. And all those, I should say this, all those jokes and all the gun safety tips and everything like that is all boiled into my stand-up bit. So I should probably do that now if I really want people to not play with guns. But no, my dad's a big gun safety guy. He was super upset about this whole thing. He comes out, you know, and I tried to blame it on Andy, but I was literally holding a smoking gun, so that wasn't going to work.
Oh my gosh.
But no, it's, when things like that happen, when those mistakes sort of happen, or those weird things that probably frustrate the heck out of you, that those are the things that I like to do, make comedy about, and a lot of comedians like to make comedy about. So
yeah, I mean, that's when people ask us how we get our content, the answer that we always give is we look at what's going on in our lives and we either turn it to a skit or we turn it into a song. It's just there's not a lot of anything going on in our lives that we create out of nowhere. It's something that's actually, it's gone on. And I think that the most important thing to do when you try to create something like that is to find specifics and to use imagery. And I really think you have a gift for that.
Oh, thank you. That's really kind of you to say. I do think, one of the, you know, if anybody out there is listening is into comedy, you kind of go through your life. If you're trying to build a stand-up bit or I guess do these videos in general, you can just start by listing like five facts about yourself and then just sort of say, okay, like that's a setup. And in the news world, it'd be like the lead sentence, you know, the thing that gets everybody on board, and then, you know, just add kind of a punchline to it. And then if you keep doing that about topics, it's kind of the same writing process. So, but that's a huge compliment coming from you, Penn, because I think the both of you really do that very well in your stuff, too. So
you're kind to say that because I don't. I love comedy, and I am recently trying to study it more because I don't know why what we do people think is funny. I don't understand why people think it's funny, but I know that there is a science and an art to it. And sometimes by accident, we like back into it and get it right. And sometimes we fail miserably.
Yeah,
so
that's always the fun.
Yeah. So talk to us. I mean, stand up, I think, would be the scariest thing. I have no desire ever to do a stand up comedy at all because I think it sounds so terrifying. So talk to us about, you're back on tour now?
Yeah, well, the official tour doesn't start until fall, but I've been doing shows over the summer. So, yeah, it's back on tour. And then stand up, is it scary? Is that sort of?
Well, I want to know, like, and so how do you, well, A, how do you get over that fear if you had it at all? But exactly. Like, how do you come up with your comedy, like your brand of comedy?
Yeah, I mean, so for stand-up, it is very much so pulling those. So I work off of recognition in the same way you do it with parenting or with, you know, Costco or like the pickle, you know, video or whatever. It's like people recognize that as a thing. And then you just kind of then say, what's my take on this thing that everybody knows? How can I like turn something on its head? And with stand-up, it's a kind of a terrifying thing at first, because when a video doesn't work, you can't, or when a bit doesn't work, you can't just delete it or take it down, or like you kind of have to eat it on stage a little bit in front of everybody. But I think that at the same time, that also provides this like weird energy mentally that allows you to, if you are so dead with a bit, like you have to like dig your way out, your mind kind of gets put into this
fight or flight
place. What's that?
Fight or flight. It's that, I mean, it's that fight, adrenaline.
Yeah. And you need to, and somehow I found my best bits just scrounging for anything in the moment.
Digging yourself out of that hole.
Yeah. And I think that's why stand-up is is kind of like addicting a little bit, and is fun. And also, yeah, it's terrifying, but you know, it's not really, nothing bad's going to happen to you, you know?
Because we've both had videos. I mean, it just happens. If you make enough videos, you're going to have one that totally flops and nobody will
quite a
watch.
Few.
We've had many. Yeah. We've had many. But when you, I didn't think about that. And if you're on stage with a microphone, you're failing just face first in front of a crowd of people. That must be exhilarating. Exhilarating. I'll use that word.
That's a kind word. Yeah. And you want to start failing, you know, at open mics. So, because that's like, I don't think a joke bombing isn't the bad thing. It's not knowing how to deal with a joke that bombs is sort of the best. So you want to start very small. It's like local news. Like you're not going right into Dallas or whatever for your first news job. You're screwing up in Rhineland or Wisconsin. So, you know.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up local news. You and Kim and I all have that in common. How much comedy, if we really wanted to
we could write a local news show.
I think we could write a comedy, like a Netflix series, and it would have 72 episodes off.
Minimum.
Like, especially the small market local news.
My God, you guys.
So funny you mentioned that. At one point, I had like this show written. I wrote with a friend of mine, Zuri Hall, she's a host over on Access Hollywood now.
Yeah.
We were co-hosts in Dallas, and she came up with this idea of like co-anchor confidential. You know, it's kind of like the just the inner workings of the newsroom. We pitch it, one of those things where you pitch it, goes somewhere, doesn't go somewhere, that kind of thing. But so I've definitely had that idea. But I've never done anything with it. There's definitely so much in local news, and there are a few local news shows out.
I feel like Tina Fey, now that I say that, like I think Tina Fey had a local news show. I should probably watch.
She did, but it was like Miami. It wasn't small enough.
Yeah.
So that's, I actually have, I have an idea for a series. I'm going to say it out loud. And I've
everybody just say NDA. So you can't steal the idea. Just say it right now. NDA.
It might be the stupidest idea ever. And I came up with this like 10 years ago, and everyone I've told it to has been like, it's in a Midwestern form. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
that's kind of been, that's been their answer. But here it is. You ready, Charlie? I want you to like yes and this or no, but I don't really care. You can say whatever you want to.
Okay.
It's kind of topical now if you think about it. An alien has landed.
Yeah, no.
And has shown, like, it's, you know that pyramid we're all looking at, we're freaking out about. It lands in, let's just say, I'm going to say Grand Junction, Colorado, because that was the first place I worked, and it's the smallest market ever. And it lands, and it puts a huge bubble where it lands, where no one can get in or get out, like a perimeter around itself so it could be safe. So the only people who can cover the greatest story in the history of human civilization, of aliens landing and how they interact with us, are the crappy local news channels of this like small market station.
I actually think it's really funny.
And from the outside, like LA wants to get, like every Matt Lauer wants to watch. That's sorry.
Ooh, bad. Yeah, no,
let's try again. Savannah Guthrie wants to get in. She can't get in. No one can get in. So these TV station people who really haven't learned how to do their job have to cover the greatest story in human history.
That is a fantastic comment. I mean, first of all, I was sold when Kim said, yeah, no. I was like, no, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah. Yeah, no. No, yeah. Wait, which is no, yeah, good, and yeah,
well,
no.
Well, we have a game at the end. We have a game at the end we're going to play, and he's going to explain some things to us.
Oh, good. Okay. But hang on. Maybe this happens in the Midwest.
Yeah, obviously. Obviously.
Instead of Grand Junction. It happens in, well, what's a good small market in the Midwest?
Rhinelander. I mean, okay. you could or Wausau or something like that, but you could really, I think that's fantastic because it kind of, in a world where we're so connected, now all of a sudden disconnected. And I think those kinds of movies are like, I think they're like island type movies. Yeah. You know, stuck on an island or something like this. And then you have that added element of just media in general, and you can have a whole commentary on it, on what it means to be local news and what it means to like really dive down and investigate something and not just regurgitate what like the bigger parent company tells you to do. And then on top of that, you have the comedy of just there being an alien. This is a comedy.
Yeah. And yes, it's obviously a comedy. I attribute the fact that we can turn content so quickly and just fail fast. If we're going to fail, we make it, we do it really quickly. I attribute a lot of it to our work in local news. Is that, I mean, yes. Yeah. So talk to us about your experience in local news and how it's helped even just what you do with content and comedy.
100%. Local news is a very, I don't know, tough is not the right word maybe, but it's a grind some days. And that idea of failing fast and needing to turn around something on a day, you when I first started working with MTV, actually, with their choose or lose thing, that's where I started to become a shooter, editor, writer, all those things. And that ability to turn on a daily basis is really, I didn't know what Bo was teaching me to do this job, you know, and just sort of training me for the media of the future, where you have to put out so much content on so many different platforms and, you know, shoot and edit it, and having those skills and that, like even just framing those simple things, mm-hmm. The fact that those are kind of like ingrained into my mind just by from those like local news days and the MTV days is invaluable. So all that said, it's a huge grind and it wasn't really my thing. And there's a lot of weird stuff going on in local news.
Oh,
it's good training, but I wouldn't train there or go back to that.
I just remember local news was where we all got there, and I'm guilty of this too, where really all you had, there's no class, there's no journalism class really that prepares you for the fact that you're going to be on live television. And you come with all of these kind of things that you've seen other people do or say, and then you're saying it, and it just doesn't work. Like, if they were bracing for the worst but hoping for the best, like all of these catchphrases that they just happen when you're in like small town local, even big, like big time local news, and then you kind of hover above yourself and you're like, what am I saying?
Yeah, you become right now a cliche.
There is that. I have sort of like a weird mental thing with local news. I don't like how like sort of perhaps like small some people there think about it, you know, and I don't like parent companies like dictating what smaller stations do, mm-hmm. but some of the best investigative reporting still goes down at local news stations.
Absolutely.
It's usually not what leads, and there's so little money in that part of local news anymore that it's incredibly frustrating. As like, I think, you know, someone who enjoys like journalism and thinks that's important. And it'd be nice if local news pushed that more, but they are competing with TikTok. They're competing with all these other things. So it's kind of like, if it bleeds, it leads kind of world. And it just, it continues to just water down the product, I think, across the
Yeah. country. And so did you, for me, and I don't know, I loved writing. I loved the I was hoping to become an investigatory journalism.
No matter how many people you leave bruised and bloodied along the way.
That's from Zoolander. Yeah. But I agree. Like, I got into it and I was like, oh, wait, they want me to turn this major story in 4 hours, and that's just never going to work. Did you want to become a journalist, or did you want to perform? What was your reason for getting into local news?
You know, I think I wanted to perform. I was playing music in high school and college, but I didn't really have the confidence that I could do that. And mm-hmm. I think journalism to a degree was two things. One, I think it was kind of a shadow career of what I really wanted to do, you know, but it allowed me to talk to other musicians and interview other musicians and all that sort of stuff. So that was the initial entry point, I think, but then I did get really into, you know, the environment specifically, and just kind of it was a lot of the way politicians interact with the environment, and was so plain that some were, you know, using essentially bribing. I mean, mm-hmm. just to kind of, you know, and looking at how the structure.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Structure of the our political system is set up with lobbyists and everything. The fact that more people didn't know about that and care about that, and that we all suffer because of it, just made me want to do the actual art of the of journalism, I guess, if anything.
Can I take a second and just say, most people don't know Charlie. most people who see Charlie on Facebook, see a guy with a crazy flappy hat and camouflage doing something very funny and using an accent that he definitely is an amalgamation of many, many years of spending time in the Midwest, and he tells jokes and he's funny. But there is, like, I am loving hearing this side of you. This
Charlie's deep.
He's an environmental crusader, and I know him, so it doesn't surprise me one bit, and I'm glad you're talking about it. Sorry, I just want to jump in and say that.
Oh, thanks. You're very kind. I wouldn't say
crusader. You're a crusader. No, I said it. You're a crusader. Yeah, congratulations.
Put it in Wikipedia.
I put that on Wikipedia. No, but on that issue, I mean, I think that there's a lot that people are, you know, we're kind of slowly cooking ourselves here, and that, you know, I'm not saying it for any weird reason other than we're all going to have to deal with this, you know.
It's amazing that it's not more urgent in a lot of people. I think about it all the time just because we have kids, and I'm thinking grandkids and
It's becoming urgent in North Carolina because
our coastline is disappearing.
and that's where the wealthy are. And it's,
we're not there, but yes.
We're trying. No, but I'm like, I want to, like, full transparency. We've worked hard. I like want to buy a beach house, but it's like falling into the ocean.
Yeah.
Right
they're
now.
Like, well, there used to be a road there, but now it's a lot. And I'm like, why what happened to the road? They're like, oh, the ocean took it. I'm like, oh, cool.
So, not good.
Yeah. Not good.
And Alaska too. We were. I was doing a thing up there, you know, and they were saying, "Oh, you better hike the glacier now. It's probably going to be gone in the next few years or whatever." So, and all that said is, I flew to Alaska, you know. So, I mean, I got a part in all this too. Correct. But you know, it's trying to figure out how we as a society are going to deal with it. So.
How did you make the transition from, you know, this, you know, journalism career, or you're working for other people, you're making content for other people, to then uploading videos to YouTube? And when did the light switch go off for you that, like, oh wait, this is, I'm going to do this by myself?
Yeah. So I was doing news in Texas at KVAF. And then I went out to LA to do, like, it was like entertainment news. It was red carpet reporting. I wasn't really good at it. I had bad facial recognition, you know? So I had about enough red carpets where I was like, hey, how are you? What's your thoughts on this project? You know? And it took me like three.
You're like, hey, that's George Clooney, sir. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my leading question. I also didn't really care that much. So, but I was doing it for a gig. And, but I was losing my mind, I think, a little bit. And so I was then producing, I think, for a different job, but I started doing stand up at night. And really at one point I said, I'm going to do a video a week. every single week and until something hits, because I can't keep doing what I'm currently doing. And I'm kind of going a little nuts here. So I did that. And maybe it wasn't every week. Maybe I missed a week, but I was also doing stand-up. The stand-up bit that hit the most was the sort of man to man character. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that hit on stage, it rescued every bit. Like, I would bomb and I would use that bit to sort of rescue myself. Mm-hmm. So I just made a video about it. And as soon as that video took off, I was like, oh, okay, I can do another, you know? And then I was like, oh, now another video took off. I can do this full time. I really felt at that point I could, and I was luckily right. So
it's a weird way to pay the mortgage, isn't it?
Yeah. How do you explain it to your family? Our parents still don't get it. They offer to send us money. They don't get it.
They don't get it.
I absolutely love that. I would say once a month, maybe twice, it's, yeah, I mean, can you make a living doing that or no? You know, are you living with your folks, or do you have a apartment, you know, a camper somewhere? You know, if you need a room, I got a couch. So, you know, that's at least once a month.
So now that we've heard Charlie in your Midwest glory there, you've written a book, The Midwest Survival Guide,
yes,
that's available for pre-order now. Can you talk to us about this and what's it about, and then what went into writing it?
Yeah, so The Midwest Survival Guide is basically everything you need to know if you are going to the Midwest, and or if you already live there, there's everything in there to laugh at yourself about. And it's a mix of those kinds of things, like how-tos and tall tales and whatever. And then mixed in are a bunch of, like, and my favorite part of the book are like personal stories about me growing up and just being a Midwest guy, and also a Midwest guy who, you know, left the Midwest for a little bit and kind of making jokes about other parts of the country. But it's sort of your Midwest 101. And it's very fun. It changes around a lot. It's sort of magazine style. And I think that it's going to be a great thing. I enjoyed writing it. And it was also very difficult to write.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, writing books, man, right?
I'm interested in the cover. And I like the cover. It's like a bubble picture of your face, but it's like nine other things with your face, like a pocket knife. It grabbed my attention. And I'll tell you right now, that is important. Having a cover that grabs attention.
Well, I've got to basically just say that when it comes to all of that, I have
someone.
Yeah, Vanessa Montano, she did the cover, and also I just am awful at that kind of stuff. So they so good, and all the credit, and also you know, William Morrow and HarperCollins and everything, that those whole teams over there are just fantastic, and that takes a great publisher and everything. For me, it was always like, what are we going to do with the visuals? I don't really care. Like, in fact, I got done writing the book and they were like, cool, where are the visuals? I'm like, oh no.
You know? You didn't tell me about visuals.
Well, they did. I just didn't read any of the contracts.
Oh, so, okay. So you were supposed to have visuals.
Yeah. But, no. And the, you know, anyway, so that when they say it takes a village, it sounds cliche, but so much of this book I could not have done. So it's going to be really good, because I was not the only person doing it. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have time to talk right now.
I don't want to give away too much of the book, but can you give us an example of a tip or something we'll learn from reading this book from people in the South? What will people in the South learn about the Midwest?
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you asked that, Kim, and I'm going to do it in, Charlie, the other Charlie books. So first of all, have you ever been ice fishing or no?
No.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Okay, well, yeah, no. Okay, so yeah, no, now, and I'll just pause right there. In the Midwest, yeah, no, that's no. Okay, no, yeah, that's yeah. Yeah, no, definitely, that's absolutely, yeah. Not definitely, though, it's absolutely. So anyway, my tip is this: if you're going ice fishing, and I know you will, okay, and you promised you get up here, okay, and we will have you out at the cabin, both of you, okay? So when we go ice fishing, You're going to drive out on the ice most likely, okay? And I got this nice truck with like an ice fishing hole drilled on the bottom of that. Now, if you're driving ever on ice, you got to remember windows down and no seatbelt, okay? Because if it cracks, you don't want to be plugged in. You want to have easy access out. You want to be able to James Bond it. And that is your Midwest tip. Keep her moving.
Keep her moving. Whoa. That is very, that's like some life-saving Midwest. Yeah. I was expecting just some like, you know, casserole hot dish stuff, but that's like, that's actual survival.
Also, oh, that James Bond, that actually explains a lot. Because when we first started this podcast, I did say that I met Charlie seeing him try to pry his way into his own trunk of his car. we were shooting this Husbands of Target video. And I'd never met him before. And he's like, I'm not going to do your voice. I was about to do your voice. He's like, hey, anybody got something to pry open a trunk?
It's not bad.
And we started by trying to, we did. Actually, like the first thing I did was I took a screwdriver and I just destroyed your back seat because we thought maybe we could get access there.
Yeah.
How'd that work?
Well, we didn't get access. The back seat is still ruined. And that's okay. I gave that car to my aunt, actually. Oh, thank God. So she was asking about it. It's like, I don't know, ask Penn. So you might be getting a call. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, we eventually did not get in, and we called AAA. And I did not have AAA, so it was a very expensive day. It was more expensive shoot for me than the rest. Oh, geez. My sister's calling.
Which one?
Declined.
Okay. We have some questions.
We have questions.
You.
We have prepared questions.
A Midwest lightning round of questions.
Okay.
We should have some music, some Midwest music. Are we thinking polka or like what's good music for the background of this?
Polka's nice.
Okay.
Yeah, polka's real nice. But, you know, we can go with a lot of different. Honestly, whatever you want. It's all up to you. Okay. I could not make a suggestion. That wouldn't be nice.
And Midwest nice. Okay. Do you drink soda or pop?
You know, that's a very political question, if I'm being honest with you. And, you know, I appreciate people on both ends of the spectrum. Okay. I think there are good ideas on both sides. There's, so, you know, I'm just going to tell you soda pop.
Soda pop.
Oh, you said both. Okay. Because you don't want to tick off the other side.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to sell books here, you guys, and you're asking me very heated political questions.
Very polarizing. Here's another one. A brat or a burger?
Definitely brats. You got to go brats. Yeah, they're fantastic. You know, and if you put sauerkraut on them, delicious.
Okay.
Mustard too.
Hot dish. Relish. Hot dish or casserole?
Yeah. And again, you know, with the polarizing question here, I thought, I've eaten both. Okay. I want to let you know, but if I'm going with the hometown deal, it's casserole here. If you go up to Minnesota, they start calling it hot dish. And unfortunately, Minnesota, I don't know much about casseroles or football teams winning Super Bowls, but that's a different story.
Okay. So what he just did there, for those who don't know it, that was a dig at the Vikings from a Packers fan. I'm just translating for you, Charlie. Go ahead.
Okay.
I forget that that your audience may not be where my audience is.
No, it's okay. I'm going to help.
Okay.
Here I am using different voices and the whole thing, and I'm interrupting him.
No, you're not. This
no, you're
perfect.
Doing great. You're doing great.
You're nailing this. No, yeah, or yeah, no.
It depends on the question, who's asking what, you know, because I'm gonna go yeah, no. If I'm a no goal, you know, I'm a yeah, no. Now, if I'm a goal, well, then I'm a no, yeah, yeah. And if I'm really a goal, I'm, as I said before, I'm a yeah, no, definitely. Oh wait, no.
No, yeah. No, yeah.
Confused.
No, yeah, definitely. Or yeah, no, definitely.
Okay, Piggly Wiggly or Pick and Save?
Well, geez. Piggly Wiggly, shop the pig. Do they have pick and saves down there? I'm a Piggly Wiggly person.
No,
sorry.
And
this is a lightning round.
Yeah, well,
bring the thunder.
No, bring the thunder.
They
here.
Have Piggly Wiggly down south.
They used to.
Have them in smaller towns.
And in Florida, they even had a Hoggly Woggly. So
really,
yeah, they had one Hoggly Woggly. Yeah. Anyway, it's like McDowell's.
I would say pick and save. I would say pick and save because that was the first grocery store I would bike to as a kid.
Okay. Now we're going to see if these are Southern terms about I'm about to give you and see if you can translate these.
And I can help with this.
Okay. If I said something's cattywampus, what does that mean?
Like weird?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Kind of gone off the rails. Excellent.
Like piddling.
Piddling?
Yeah.
Peeing? No, sorry, Charlie said peeing.
It's just like you're wasting time.
Yeah.
Like you're piddling around.
Oh, piddling around?
Kinda? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What's a hoe cake?
You know, I didn't think this was going to be that kind of a situation here, Kim. Okay. Geez Louise, you know, I'm a Christian. Let me remind you. Okay. It better be a cake shaped like a garden utensil. Crying out loud.
It's a cornmeal pancake. It's like an easy way to make cornbread, but you just make it it's like a pancake form of cornbread.
Also known as spoon bread.
Yeah. Well, no, a hoe cake is different than spoon bread.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, but they're both cornbread.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. If I parked in Goofy, what would that mean?
Parked in Goofy?
Mm-hmm. This is more Florida.
I have no idea. That's a very fun phrase, though.
It means you parked really far away. So, like, the Goofy parking lot
from
in Disney
World
is the farthest away. So, if you're I am running late, I'm far away. I'm in Goofy now.
I'm
parked in Goofy, which
I like
means
that phrase.
You're like really far away. What other Southern questions should we ask?
I mean, he knows y'all. That's probably what does it mean when someone says "bless your heart"?
Oh, that means like that is your Southern condescending way of saying I think you are a dumb silly boy.
Dumb silly boy.
That is 100% correct, and it we have heard it.
So many people.
I didn't realize how often it happened.
I grew up
here. Yeah, and we got back here, and it is rampant. These days in the South.
You've said it to people?
No, it's been said to me. And so when
I'll say it to Kim because we know what it means and we're in on the joke. But yeah, no, you don't say, bless your heart basically means f*** you.
It does.
Like, I'm not kidding. And we'll bleep that out, but that's what it means.
Yes. okay, this nothing to do with the Midwest or the South, but Charlie, I have to ask, and you know, we're starting to ask these questions of most of our guests, but what would be your go-to karaoke song? If you had to pick a song, your life depends on it, what's your karaoke song?
So there's this one song by Ted Hawkins called I'm Sorry You're Sick, and I sing it in the car all the time. Like, I kind of do voice training with some weird songs, and that song, I love that song.
Is it available in most karaoke bars?
What is this? I need to hear some of it. I don't know.
I've never gone to a karaoke bar with this one. I would say the karaoke chance, that's like my new karaoke. If I were to go to a karaoke bar, it'd be like Bad Leroy Brown.
Okay.
Jim Croce, you know.
Okay. Okay, Charlie, you were the very best. We loved having you. Tell people where they can pre-order your book.
Oh, geez. Well, you can go to my website, charliebarons.com or manswalkman.com or just any of my socials. You'll see it there. And thank you both for having me. This was really cool. Really enjoyed it. Penn, I like your shorts. Those are very nice.
I'm so sorry.
I know the zoom angle right now. He's like, I'm sorry. And you're seeing a lot of
he's
like
got a lot of inner
legs.
Thigh.
A lot of legs right now.
A lot of leg right
a
now.
A lot of low angle outer thigh with like, and these new shorts are like 8-inch inseams. They don't even make them any longer. Has that made it to the Midwest? Like
they're really short men shorts is like the style.
Yeah, they're kind of getting it. We still have a few more inches on you though, out here for a while. It's going to take a little bit, I think, but they look
take your time.
Nice. You've been doing squats. So I'm glad to see that, you know, ripple in the lower part of my screen.
I'm so sorry. I'm really glad no one else can see this.
I am jealous. Penn has gotten to spend time with you out on these shoots. And then now that we're all vaxxed and hopefully we can keep the population from continuing to get sick, and we can travel and see you and go ice fishing and not die, because I would love to meet you in person.
That would be amazing. If you ever decide to come up, we'll shoot some videos. It'll be fun. And I also got to get down there. So
yes, that would be awesome. We would love to have you.
Good luck with your tour. Good luck with your book. We love you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you both back. Thank you for having me.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.